You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today, Bishop Herbert Bailey continues with By Many or By Few.
We remember the story of Gideon. God calls Gideon and Judges the sixth chapter. Pick up here in verse 14, the New Living Translation says, Then the Lord turned to him, that's Gideon, and said, Go with the strength you have. God, I like that. Go with the strength you have. See, well, God, I need more of this. Go with the strength you have. I need more people. Go with the people you have. I need more staff. Go with the staff you have. I need more volunteers. Go with the volunteers you have. Lord, I need more anointing. Use the anointing you already got. Use the strength you already have and rescue Israel, in this case, from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Lord, Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And I'm the least in my entire family. And the Lord said to him, I will be with you. You will destroy the Midianites as if you're fighting against one man. God said, I will take the many and shrink their strength to like one man. Don't think that you're fighting an army. Think that you're fighting one man because I am with you. Sometimes God, when I was in the corporate world and when I was with Aetna, casualty insurance that exists no more now. Aetna is now only life, is only, I think for the most part, health insurance. But it used to be property casualty and I was a claims adjuster in the claims department of Aetna. That's the company that I started in Portland, Maine, and then they moved me to Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, they went through this downsizing and re-engineering. They tried to come up with nice creative terms to mean you don't have a job no more. And so downsize was negative. So at one point we were downsizing. And then somebody sat in the boardroom and they probably hired some consultants and paid them $7 million. Said, no, don't say downsizing no more. Now we're going to call it right-sizing. Then somebody said, well, right-sizing is still sounding like you're resizing. So we won't call it. We're going to call it re-engineering. Somebody told me they got a new term now. What's that new term? Somebody told me they got a new term. But bottom line just means you won't have no job no more. They say, we can fix it any way we want to fix it, but the bottom, sometimes God has to downsize, right size, re-engineer, and even fire the many of the crowd so he can get the glory from the few. So in the case of Gideon, let's keep going with Gideon's story here. In Judges 7 chapter, starting at verse 2 from the New Living Translation, and the Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors with you. Imagine that you could have too much. Imagine that you have too many resources and too many people and too many other things that you're relying on to the point that you no longer rely on God. I was talking to the pastors in our fellowship at my summit a couple weeks ago, and I said, I don't care how much money you get and how much money your church can pay you, you need to always be at a place that you can live by faith. Come on now, because the just shall live by faith. We are commanded to live by faith. God never wants you to have so much money that you're not dependent on him. Oh, come on now. Which means even if you got millions, God will give you a vision for billions. When you got billions, God will give you a vision for tens of billions. Because God will always keep us at a place that you need me. I don't care how much you got, how much money you have, how many people you have, how many degrees you have. You need me. Hallelujah. That's why there's always going to be some diseases that man can't find a cure for. So God can get people to call upon his name and realize that he ultimately is Jehovah Rapha. There's always going to be something that man doesn't know, so we can search it out and say, God, I need your wisdom. My education didn't prepare me for this. My degrees didn't prepare me for this. The books didn't prepare me. God, I need your spirit. I need the spirit of wisdom. I need you to show me what I don't know how to do. I can't do without you. I can't make it without you. I don't know anything without you. So God said, Gideon, you got too many warriors. He said, now, if I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites going to boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. So God goes on to say in Judges 7 and verse 3, New Living Translation, says, therefore tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid, you can leave this mountain and go home. Punks to the left. Punks to the left. Everything in the box to the left. Y'all are going home. Got all these people, but most of y'all scared. All these people, most, where $15 million going to come from? I mean, you see how long it took us to pay off $2 million? See how long it took us to pay off $4 million? See, but you don't know. There's some churches that ain't never paid it off. Been around forever. They're going through 10 pastors and they still got debt. How are we going to get this done? To the left. Whoever's timid or fearful, you can leave this mountain and go home. Watch this. And 22,000 said, show you right. You don't have to ask me twice. 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. Now, I would have tried to fake it. I ain't scared. I'm willing to fight. And then you see 22,000 leaving, you're like, you know, maybe I need to go with them. 22,000 went home. Verse 4. Then the Lord told Gideon, you still got too many. You still got too many. He started off with 32,000 people. 22,000 go home. He got 10 left. And the Lord said, you still got too many. Bring them down to the spring. And I'm going to test them to determine who will go with you and who will not. And Gideon took the warriors down to the water. And the Lord told him, now divide the men in two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Now, God's now, I preached about this many years ago. I said, Lord, what is the significance of that? And so God said, now separate two of you. He said, now take them all to him, let them all get something to drink. And one group would drink like this, and they would get water and put it in their hands and drink. And the other group was like this. He said, all the ones that put their head in the water, let them go home. Now, why? Because the scripture said you got to watch and pray. Oh, come on now. You can't be so consumed with your own need that you don't recognize that there's a real devil out there. Come on now. So while I'm pursuing getting my needs met, I got to be sober and vigilant. Come on. Realizing that Satan is seeking whom he may devour. Stay alert, watch, and pray. So in the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouth. And only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. And the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I'm going to rescue you and give you victory over the Midianite. Send all the others home. Send everybody who say we can't do it, that means God just ain't going to use you to do it. Send everybody who say, well, that's too much, then God said, that means I just won't get it to you. I'm going to get it to those who I can get it through. Oh, come on now. Send everybody who say, this project is too big, and I don't know how we're going to have get this. No, God said, now, you, all I need you to do is watch us. Watch us work. Watch me, watch me. Watch me work. Watch me, Nene. Watch me do my work. Watch me perform. Watch me use a little and become much. Watch me use a few and the few become a majority. Watch me, watch me. I am the God who will get the glory from the few. Somebody say, I'm one of the few. Woo! As I start wrapping this up, in order for God to get more glory with the few, three things that I want to encourage, or a couple things I want to encourage you to do. Number one, the few got to think like many. The few have to think like many. I believe it's Proverbs 22:7. It says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh, was it 22:5? I just referenced that one. Okay. As a man thinketh, so is he. If you think you're small, you're small. If you think you're defeated, you're already defeated. If you think you can't do it, you're not. Might as well not even try. God needs somebody to say, yes, I can. Come on. We got to think like many. Years ago, I saw this formula for the majority that said this: one man plus God equals the majority. Say that when you say one man plus God equals the majority. Come on. So all God needs is one person to believe him, and that's the majority. Come on. So when we were getting ready to get our first house and I didn't know where the money was going to come from, I didn't have any money. And I was getting ready to walk away from the whole deal to get our first house because we needed $6,000. But there was one in the house who said, we're going to have what we need when we need it. And her name was Marcia Bailey. So come on, come on. See, you got to get beyond this gender stuff. Go, whoever believe, believe. Well, I ought to be the spiritual leader, but you ain't. We still need leadership. Come on now. I ought to, but you're not. God ought to speak to me, but he don't. So whoever he talking to, whoever he's listening to, whoever got faith, jump on it and become a majority. Are y'all hearing me here? 2 Kings 6:15-17. It said, when the servant of that 2 Kings 6:15-17. It said, when the servant of the man of God, this is Gehazi, I believe. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city with horses and chariots. And they were coming against Elisha. And the servant said, alas, my master, how shall we do? What are we going to do? And the man of God answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than be with them. One man plus God equals the majority. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. But it's thousands and it's tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands. But the word of the Lord is, they that be with us are more than be with them. So Elisha prayed and said, Lord, open the boy's eyes so he may see. And then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And now he was able to see into the spirit realm. And he saw. Everybody say, Lord, help us to see that they're more with us than are with them. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. In the natural, he could not see them. He could not see them in the natural. But when God opened up the eyes of his spirit, and he had discerning the spirit. Come on. Can I tell you this? You got to get this. It wasn't that when he prayed, God sent the angels and the chariots of fire. Don't miss that. He didn't pray, God, send chariots of fire, send angels. He said, God, let them see what's already there. See, we're not always conscious. We're talking with the bondies, and they were sharing with us about various angelic visitations that they done had. And then Pastor Marshall started sharing about the ones that she done had. And we're not always conscious of angels. The Bible says that they are among us. Many times we're entertaining them unawares. And so the angels, the chairs of fire, it was more. Watch this. See, most of us, we've at least have heard, you know, I ain't seen exact number of the scripture, but traditionally we say, okay, so, you know, when people say stuff, I like to go try to find the scriptures, but they say, They say that a third of the angels were kicked out of heaven with Lucifer. A third, that means one out of three. A third of the angels, or fallen angels, which now we refer to as devils or demons. One third. Well, if one out of three were thrown out, that means two were still left. Come on, come on. That means whatever devil come up against you, he's always outnumbered. There's two angels for every devil. Hallelujah. We just got to be kind. There are always more with us than is with them. Secondly, if God's going to get more glory, get the $15 million from the few got to be courageous. Somebody say, I'm courageous. So this is what David says. David was one. I mean, the first thing we can see about David, he was courageous. He didn't look at his size. He didn't look at his lack of experience. He looked at the fact that I have a covenant with God. So when he comes against the Philistines, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He doesn't have a covenant. I got a covenant. God is not on his side. God is on my side. Goliath says, and even Saul says, now you can't fight him. He said, you are but a youth. And Goliath has been fighting since he was a youth. He said, boy, he's been fighting since he was your age. Oh, come on now. He did not look at the years of experience. He looked at the fact that in the beginning, God, before Goliath had one experience of fighting, God was already fighting battles. Oh, y'all aren't hearing me here. Look, will you look, somebody say, God got experience in this. Boy, that's shouting ground right there. I know you're going through something you ain't never been through, but I'm here to tell you God got some experience in that. I know you're dealing with something that you don't understand, but I'm here to tell you God got experience in that. I know you're facing a mountain that you don't know how you're going to get over, but God got experience in that. I know you're facing a river and a sea that you don't know how you're going to get to the other side, but God got experience in that. I know you got a child who's rebellious, but I'm here to tell you God got some experience in that. I know you got a bill that you don't know how you're going to be able to pay, but God got experience in paying bills. So the few must be courageous. David says, Psalm 3:1-6, he said, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? I got a lot of haters, what he's saying. Many are they that rise up against me. And a few, many there be, which say in my soul, there's no help for him in God. Selah, ponder, think about that. But, everybody say but. But mean forget that. But mean be some changes around here. But mean no matter what I said before, this is going to change that. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. My glory and the lifter up of my head. Then he looked back and started remembering what God already brought him through. He said, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I wait for the Lord sustained me. There's a good one to teach you, kids. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die, the devil is a liar. Come on, teach your kids that. I'm going to lay down and sleep, and I'm going to wake up because God will sustain me. Hallelujah. I lay me down and I slept. I wake, the Lord sustained me. And then he says, now because I got experience, I know that even though when I have haters and enemies, he said this, verse 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about, because though they be many, God can get glory with the few. He says again in Psalm 27:3, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. And though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. I love that scripture there, because this scripture makes you keep repeating it. The host in the camp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war shall arise against me. In this would I be confident. In what would I be confident? That though a host should encamp against me, my heart ain't going to fear. And though war shall rise against me, in this one I'm going to be confident. Confident about what? Confident about the fact that though a host should come against me, my heart's not going to fear. And though war shall rise against me, I'm going to be confident in this. Every time you read that, it makes you say it again. How did somebody say, I'm confident in this? He says again in the psalm that we know as the Psalm of Protection, that many in our military who are Christian stand on this, have written, put it in their fatigues and put it in their barracks. Psalm 91, verse 7 says, 1,000 shall fall at your side, and 10,000 even fall at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Come on, you got to know that God is on your side. Hallelujah. Every time you hear about plagues going around this nation, measles here and this there, and salmonella here and all these, no, 1,000 fall at my side, 10,000, but it's not going to come nigh me. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm on the blood covenant. I put the blood over my house. I put the blood over my property. I put the blood over my children, and I am a tither. And because I'm a tither, you're going to rebuke the devourer for my sake. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Paul, considering all of that, sums it up in Romans 8 and 31. He says, so what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I know it look like it's a lot. No, look like going to take a lot of money. Oh, but God, every time I think about that, I'm reminded of the book of Haggai, where God says to Zerubbabel. Some of y'all don't know the story. Read it. I want y'all to read and meditate on it. Go read the book of Haggai. In the book of Haggai, the temple has been destroyed. Zerubbabel is the governor. He's trying to get the temple restored. We remember how splendid Solomon's temple originally was. And now it's been destroyed and it's in ill repair. He needs to repair it. And so he's wondering, where am I going to get the money? We just come out of slavery. We just come from exile. Where are we going to get the money? And God speaks to Zerubbabel through Haggai and said, all the gold is mine. All the silver is mine. And the glory of this latter house will be greater than the former house. What I'm getting ready to do this time is going to be bigger and greater than what I did the last time. Look at somebody say, God, get ready to do something greater. Hey, hallelujah. I know God done good things in your life, but God said, remember not the former thing. Behold, I'm about to do something new. I'm about to do a new thing in your life. Eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither have entered the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. But he's revealed it unto us by his Spirit. Somebody say, God, can we blow our minds? Hallelujah. The last thing I want to tell you, number three, is that if God's going to get more glory with the few than he would with the majority, is that the few got to know that God is with them. Somebody say, I know God's with me. Hallelujah. Pastor Marsh and I, we were talking about this week. If there's one thing I know, is that I'm called to Columbia, South Carolina. If there's one thing I know, that I'm where God has me. If there's one thing I know, that I'm in the will of God. So over the years, I've learned not to be concerned about the haters, not to be concerned about the naysayers, not to be concerned about the lies, not to be concerned about gossip, because if I'm in the will of God, that means I'm anointed to stand in this position. I'm anointed to do what he called me to do. So no weapon that's formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises up against me, it's already condemned. And this is how I fight my battles. I worship through everything. I praise in anything. In the midst of my praise, in the midst of my worship, God sets ambushments. Jesus. Let me finish here. So God says, remember the message I preached a few weeks ago. When God is challenged, remember the word of God to Hezekiah regarding Sennacherib. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 7, he said, be strong and courageous. Be not afraid or dismayed of the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitudes that is with them. For there be more with us than with him. With him is the arms of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God. He going to help us, and he will fight our battle. And the people rested themselves.
God will get it done, by many or by few. That's the example from his word. Bishop Herbert Bailey shows us that no matter what God calls us to do, if we are obedient, he will make it happen, whether by many or by few. Order this single message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. Ask for By Many or By Few.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.